You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles, Nehemiah chapter 4. Orchestra will let you come on down. I hope you always appreciate the orchestra. They're such a blessing. I just look at them, or I'll say, come on, and they come and play along with the specials, and that's great, play for the choir. And it's amazing we get to be part of something like this, just an amazing thing. And God's good. Up in the balcony, thank you for being there tonight, the lower floor. Brother Fanera did correct me. He said, Pastor's conference gets out at noon. Missions conference is 2:30. I said, okay, all right. Maybe you want to pray about 12 o'clock. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, who needs to go to school anyway? But I don't know what he'll let us know for sure. And thank God for that great school. It's a wonderful school. We thank God for it. Thank God for the college. And Brother Flood, if you'll remind me somewhere here in my Bible, I think I have a couple more announcements I need to make as we're dismissed tonight, just momentarily. Nehemiah is my favorite Old Testament book. I love it. I can remember early in this ministry here, I preached from Joshua 48 years ago on Sunday nights, just went through chapter after chapter. It's a building book, an exciting book, a conquering book. And I remember also preaching probably 40 years ago, maybe longer, from the book of Nehemiah. And that book became my favorite. I love when you build something or tear something down. And tonight I want to speak a subject in our class this morning. We're going through the letter P in the alphabet, and we're deposits in your home. And I think today must have been about lesson number 20. Today was perseverance. Never quit. Let me give another opportunity for you to say amen. Never quit. You don't quit on anything. Don't quit on life. Don't quit on people. Don't quit on church. Church goes and becomes large. Don't quit. Church dwindles. Don't quit. May come back large. I don't know. Just don't quit. I know that sometimes we're laid aside and we cannot get to church. But I tell you what, I'm like you, Dr. Nicola. You're suffering with that cancer, but somehow you get to, and my wife said, as he's able to, let him come. He needs church. And she was speaking positive about you. We love it. I mean, it revives you to hear singing. And he knows when he can come, when he can't. Sister Mary, his sweet wife, is shut in right now. She's watching right now. And she knows when she can and when she can't. Hey, listen, I'm just saying, if you can get to church, get to church. When you're mad at the lady next to you or the man next to you or mad at somebody, come to church. And I think I quit. This lady and I had a little tiff together, and so I'm going to quit. What's that about? Go to church. God, you didn't have a tiff, and if you did have a problem with God, then you really need to get to church. I want to speak tonight about a letter my dad wrote me in 1969. My dad, you heard it before, he's German, never said the word, I love you, son. I don't ever remember it, but I knew he did. He was the most perfect dad. He was there. He provided for us. He taught me work on cars and mechanics back then. He taught me how to mow a lawn. He taught me how to work. We had family Bible time every night. We sang together, made sure I had a trumpet. My sister had a piano. My other sister had an organ to play. He was made sure we were in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'll do my own amen. It takes longer. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, that's right. Made sure that he had an example of tithing. Made sure that I had the example that he never yelled at my mother, never scared my mother, and never hurt my mother. We had Christmas together every year. We had one larger gift, like a coat or something, and one small gift. I just remember it. It's just everything about my childhood growing up was just amazing. And then I went to college. I knew the man loved me, but then he started, every week he'd write me a letter and say, love, Dad. That's pretty big stuff. And then he'd always write this, and it's my message tonight. Keep on keeping on. I'd never heard that before. And by the way, I used to sit here. I pastored him for 33 years. The first 10, I would say, "Dad, I love you." He said, "Well, thank you, son." And about after 8, 9, 10 years, I'd say, "Dad, I love you." He said, "I love you too, son." And I'll never forget when that started happening. And I tried to find on my phone this week. I can't find it. Somewhere on that phone, there's a voicemail, and it said, last words I heard him say, well, I have a recording, "I love you, son. I wish you knew my dad. I know I talk about him too much. I just wish you knew him." And nothing stopped him. When that 90% deaf man had the ear surgery, they said, "For the first time, you're going to hear without hearing aids," and it failed. Nothing stopped him. When he went Saturday on a Friday night in Hayward at Bret Hart Field, plays baseball, softball, and I was on the first fast pitch team, and he was on the second one. I'm not saying mine was better. We were in just different divisions, and I was up to bat, and someone said, "Your son's up to bat," and he turned around and watched me bat, and when he turned back around, the guy threw a softball, hit him right in the eyeball, and his glasses, that's when they had lenses, and it broke and shattered, and he went to the hospital all stitched up. I remember he got a brand new van. That van's just came out. They didn't have vans. He had a 1963 Chevy van, and he's going toward the Dumbarton Bridge, and it came to a stop, and he hit the brakes, and it veered out to the right, and that's just the way, the faulty brakes, and a brake shoe hit him in the head. He was carrying some parts and knocked him out. He went down into the swamp, and they had to come get him out of that thing, had to go to the hospital. Never quit on anything. Never quit on anything. Some folks said, I remember a man owed him $2,500 for a job he sold, and I said, "Dad, go after that man. Get that." He goes, "He probably needs it more than we do, son." That was a lot of money. I was making 90 cents an hour in the grocery store business. That shows you what $2,500 was. I mean, when cancer came in his life, he just was great. When his stroke came, all those things happened. He just always, he was happy, he sang, he was in church, he was in the choir, on the old building over here. It was just, he just kept on, keep on, keep it on. That's what I love about this church. Here's a man, Nehemiah. I'll get going where I'm going to go in just a minute. It won't take me long after I get going. But I want you to see, he was under attack constantly. Came to pass when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth. You try to do something for God, there are people going to be upset with you. It's crazy. And they attacked him. "What do these feeble Jews? If a fox go on their wall, it's going to break it down." They ridiculed, they made fun. Go back to chapter 2, in chapter 2 and verse number 9. "And I came to the river and gave the king's letter. And Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite heard it. It grieved them exceedingly." I like this text. Preached on it to the college kids last week. "There was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel." People were so upset he came to town. Notice, if you will, in chapter number 6. In chapter 6, "It came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arabian, the rest of our enemies." See, you're going to get some enemies. Verse number 6, 2. "Sanballat, Geshem said, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. And they thought to do me mischief." Let's detente. Let's just talk. Let's talk religiously. We want to get along. "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. I cannot come. Why should the work cease while I leave to come down to you?" They sent it four times. They sent an open letter, the Bible says. And then the true colors come. These Jews think to rebel. In verse 7, "Come, and now therefore let's take counsel together." They said, verse 10, "Let us meet in the temple of the house of God." We'll come to your place. We'll go to the house of God. We just want to get along with you. And I perceived that God had not sent him. Therefore, he was higher that I should be afraid. It's amazing what people do to hurt your life, or hurt your marriage, or hurt your family, or hurt your church, or hurt the things of God. That's going to be part of life. What do you do when it's just nothing but trouble? Keep on keeping on. What do you do when it looks like there's no hope in sight. We just keep on keeping on. We just keep on keeping on. Help me. We just keep on keeping on. Never give up. Never give up. You flunk a class? Well, I think you can quit college. It's hard. No, you don't give up. You get laid off. I happened to go to college in a season of time where you got laid off all the time. You had to go find another job. And the next day you found another job and you worked that for a couple of weeks, a couple of months. Then you got laid off. You had to go find another job. Yeah, you never. So I think my mom said to come home because I can't get a job and nobody wants to hire me. And I'll tell you why no one wants to hire you. That's the reason right there. Hey man, get a job at the donut shop eating them center out of a donut if you have to do it. But go get a job. Make it happen. A young boy couldn't get a job. And he bought a plank. And he went down, and some of you have been at this restaurant. He went down in New England and he went fishing and he brought the plank. He had fish on that plank. He had them in a basket, got it back, put it on a plank, and walked several miles back inland, and they had fish for sale, and they began to buy them. And day after day after day, it was business grew off that plank. And then he got a wheelbarrow, and that wheelbarrow. Then he hired a couple of boys with wheelbarrows, and they got more fish. And then all of a sudden, they started a seafood restaurant, and that thing went and became one of the biggest restaurants in the East Coast. I want to tell you, start on a plank. Never give up. Keep on. Keep it on. Don't quit. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your kids. Don't quit on your parents. Don't quit on school. Just keep on keeping on. It's always darkest before the dawn. Joy, we sang it tonight, comes in the morning. What do you do when you facing obstacles, setbacks? You don't sit down and you don't run. Look what he did. He kept building. Verse 6. So built we the wall. You keep running the bus route when it's not working. You keep running it and running it and running. By the way, one reason why you keep running it, because God rewards faithfulness. We're enjoying so many blessings of God at this church. And I'm not saying anything about me because I battle me every week thinking, my goodness, what could happen? And I sincerely say it to God, what could happen if they got a real good pastor? But I tell you, that lady's been faithful. You're being blessed because of that lady. You're being blessed because of that couple and that couple and that couple and that couple. And all through the house, people have stayed 20 and 25 and 30 and 35 and 40 and 45 and almost 50 years staying all throughout this house. Hey, I want to tell you something. We are reaping the benefits. And every one of them felt like quitting at times. You just keep on keeping on. So built we the wall. They said, you can't build the wall. So built we the wall. What if a fox walk on the wall? It's going to come down. So built we the wall. They said to the king, said, stop the project. So built we the wall. They hired people to lie about them. So built we the wall. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Nehemiah was commissioned, build a wall. And I want you to know, keep on keeping on means you keep building. I want you to know number next is you keep praying. Verse number 9, let's read it together. Verse 9 of chapter 4. Ready? Begin. Nevertheless, we made. You see, when obstacles come, just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer, will answer you. God keeps his promise, his word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. James 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray. Prayer is saying, God, I give, I surrender, I cannot do it, but God, you can do everything. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask him? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto him. Which of you having a son, will you give him a scorpion? Or would you give him a stone? No! If ye being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask him? God wants to hear from us. Thank God for prayer. What do you have? Your setback in your life, your financial reversal, your health, your sorrows, your broken heart, your betrayal. Just keep on praying. I'm not the epitome of prayer. I got a message that God gave me for a place I'm preaching several months next year from now. But I tell you what, I know the message because there's a lot of things that I'm not, but I tell you, there's a lot of things that God is. And one, he says that if you'll just pray, Jack, if you'll just come to me and say, you cannot do it, I cannot do it, but God, you can do it. And the obstacle is great, and the sorrow is great, and the tears are great, and the disappointment's great, and the betrayal is great, but just keep praying. Every one of those great men of God in this Bible, they came to an obstacle, they prayed. Daniel prayed in the den of lions. Those 300 Hebrew children prayed out to God in that fire. I want you to know that Ezekiel prayed and he sat where they sat and he prayed to God. Isaiah sat down and prayed. Hezekiah came and criticized him and he sat down. He went to the man of God. He went to the house of God and he went to the place of prayer. He prayed. Just keep praying. Young people here in elementary, junior high, and high school, you don't know what God has for you. But I tell you what, just keep on praying. Just keep praying. You say, you don't know, I don't know who God wants me to marry. Just keep praying. Don't marry who you want to marry. Marry who God provides for you in your life. You see, the answer in adversity is to keep on keeping on. How? Just keep building. Secondly, just keep praying. I'm glad you asked. Thirdly, just keep on when friends and family attack. Look what it says in verse 12. And it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came, the Jews did, and said to us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, when will be unto you? They began to attack, the family and the Jews began to attack and say, what are you doing? Not only Sanballat, but sometimes the dearest friends on this earth are going to turn on you. So, dear God, I just can't do it. And people that love me, just they're hurting me. But God never hurts you. Number four, keep recognizing. If you want to keep on keeping on, keep recognizing the greatness of God's work. Keep recognizing I am doing a great work for God. Notice what it says in verse number 19. Verse 19. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, say these four words. Ready? Begin. The work is great. Say it again, please. The work is great. Thank God for all the things that this church does and individually your jobs where you work. But I tell you what, the greatest opportunity that you and I have is the work of God is great. It's an eternal work. It's an everlasting work. It's for eternity. And you're not laying up just simply down here. I think those trumpeters laid up something in heaven. I think all nine of them playing. Maybe they're going to be in the trumpet section of the in heaven. Over here in this section, there'll be somewhere between 250 and 250,000 and a half a million to a million trumpeters. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And over here is going to be about a million violinists. Can you imagine that? Great. And can you imagine where God says, I'm looking for not a very smart man, not a very smart man, not a very good looking man, but I'm looking for a guy to lead the congregation. And Asaph, he did it in the Old Testament, and this one did it in the New Testament. But in the church age, there was this funny guy. He worked with Brother Traver at North Valley. He's not that good looking, but oh, can he lead music? Alvin Martinez, come and lead us in a song. The Hallelujah Chorus. Won't that be something? Yeah. And he'll turn and say, we have a 2 million voice choir today singing the Hallelujah Chorus. Wow. You know, everything God does is great. Yeah. We start off tonight, great is thy faithfulness. I have all those greats in my Bible underscored. I can't remember how many, 1,400 or some greats, double underlined, triple underlined with red ink. Everything that God does, if I text you back, I always take the letter, the word great, and I put it under capital letters. Everything in life is great. 100 degrees, it's great. 32 below zero, it's cold. I'm telling you something, everything's great. How you doing today? Great. Great. You know, God's work is great. You want to keep on keeping on. Stop thinking, well, you know, you're tired. Everything's hard. Everything's sad. No, it's great. You want to keep on keeping on? Keep paying the price. Verse 23, so neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none put off our clothes, saving everyone to put them off for washing. That shows that he believes in cleanliness. But he said, we just work. Keep paying the price. Hey, young man, you pastor a church one day. I think of the Navajo where brother, our missionary down there, Navajo Indians. And they put him in a body bag in Vietnam because they said he was dead, and the helicopter put him in a body bag and zipped it up. And noticed there was some twitching going on. They just thought it was just sort of, you know, how a body can still continue to twitch at times. But they opened that thing up and found out, hey, we zipped him up, he's still alive. And as he healed, and went to the Navajo Indians in New Mexico. He went and started to preach, built a building, and nobody came for a week, for a month, for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 4 years. I think if you're not mistaken, he said in this pulpit, I think it was 7 years. And then all of a sudden, 10 came and 20 came and 50 came and 100 came and 200 came and 300 came and 500 came and 600 came and 700 came, and they just kept coming to the house of God. That's been 40 some years ago. Just keep plugging away. Just keep on keeping on. You want to see God build a great church? Just keep going every day, every day. Knock on doors, visit people. Oh, how sweet to walk round and round the block, ringing doorbells for my Lord, wearing out my shoes, telling God's good news, ringing doorbells for my Lord. And I don't ring doorbells, I like to knock. And I like this knock right here. I like, and not the last two. This is a police knock. I don't knock like that. This is a sissy knock. Like, I'm supposed to go soul winning, but I hope no one's home. But I like to go. That's a friendly knock. And I must confess, I can't get out like I used to. I'm ashamed to say the administration is so overwhelming. But I tell you what, when I got here, I told the bus workers yesterday, I remember the first Thursday night soul winning, it's just the two of us. We're the only two that showed up. Would you remember that? Just the two of us. And one was real spiritual, one had a real great need. And I talked to that person with that great need. She's pointing back at me. Just the two of us. And then I had this brainstorm. Let's start Saturday soul winning. We'll call it the bus meeting, faithfulness, all those things. And let's go on Saturday. And I sat on a bench waiting, and nobody came on Saturday. And Tuesday, nobody but the two of us came. But you know what? I look at these great crowds that go out now. And I remember those days at 1 o'clock, there was nobody here. And at 1 o'clock, I'd go out every day knocking on doors. Knock on doors. Just knock on doors. 50 years ago, there was always somebody at home. A man worked a different shift, or a lady would be there, and I'd talk to them. Try to get led so many to Christ those days. Someone every Sunday walking down the aisle. I recall a man, there used to be a gas station over here in Agnew Village, it's right there at Cheney, and by the gas station, by the car wash there. And there was a gas station there. A guy pulled in, got his gasoline, and then went back to a second job. And I was over there knocking on doors and talked to his wife. She said, we moved here, I think from Tennessee or Texas or somewhere, I can't remember. And she said, we've been looking for a church. I'm never home, I'm at work. And I came home, and in my house here, I just prayed, dear God, we need a church. And we're Baptists, send a Baptist preacher or send somebody by. But we've been praying, we can't find a Baptist church here at all. He came home that night, and she said, I got good news to tell you. He goes, I've got better news for you. And she goes, well, let me go first. He goes, no, let me go first. They said, we've been praying for a church. He said, I get to the gas station over here. Look what I got. She goes, well, look what I got. And they both had the same gospel track. And I'll never forget them uniting with this church. They were here for several years. You know, friend, I'll tell you what. You just keep paying the price. You're not going to have a Christian school like ours after 2 weeks. But there's been so many people in this room that have never gone to the Christian school, but you financed it. You paid the price. You built the buildings. You prayed for the faculty. You prayed for the students. You supported, recall, I remember winning Alex Smith to Christ. He was the director over here at the schools in Sunnyvale, and Alex got saved and got baptized. And he said, you know, Pastor, you're talking about brand new desks. This is 48 years ago. You're talking about, we don't have brand new desks, but I've got school desks over here in our warehouse, and we've got to get rid of them. And I said, how much they cost? He said, I'll sell them to you for $1 a desk. And I came to church on a Wednesday night. I said, we need 100 desks at $1. And we had $100. God's people gave it, and we bought those desks. We brought them back, and the ladies were so good. They washed those desks out and all the marks inside, got them cleaned up. We put them in their spot. And he said, by the way, I've also got chairs over here. We'll throw in on the deal. God's been so good. You're not going to have a school like that in 2 weeks. But because of God's people, I want to say, and let me close her down. Verse 20, you want to keep on keeping on? Just trust God. Look at verse 20. In what place, therefore, ye hear, in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort hither unto us, for our God will fight for us. Read that last line. Ready? Our God. You know, during COVID, I claimed that, not that verse, but it was Exodus 14:14. You need to put that in your Bible. It's the battle's the Lord's. God will fight for us. Whatever battle you face tonight, God's gonna, he'll fight it for you. Well, I'm gonna deal with it this way. No, don't do it your way. Your way's never the right way. God's way is always the right way. And so he said, here's my last example. He said, just keep on trusting that God will take care of it. We grew up over here in 1953. We moved into Centerville. Witnessed to a man yesterday. He said, yeah, I know Centerville. There was only 2,500 people there. It wasn't Fremont yet. It was just Centerville. There are five little cities, all had 2,500 people. I said, I grew up over there on Thornton, those little flat top houses. There's only about four streets. That's all that was there. Those houses sold for $7,000. My dad bought one. He thought, how in the world will I ever pay this payment? $7,000. He was making, I think, $70 a month at that time. And you know, it's an amazing thing. God gave us that house. I remember in 1959 when he announced we were going to move from there and move to Stockton. He was going to open up that hearing aid business. We stayed there for 2 years. We went from Pastor Smith to Pastor Siemens, and Pastor Siemens became our pastor for 2 years in Stockton. One of the things Pastor Siemens had every Sunday night at our church, and I don't want to close the service subdued or anything, but I loved what he did. We'd sing a lot in church, all of our churches we attended, and then we came back to our home church after 2 years. But he had Earl Call in 1959, 1960, 1961. We had a beautiful auditorium, probably sat about 150, 200, just a beautiful auditorium and beautiful buildings. And they built two parsonages on the property for Pastor Siemens and Pastor Hakadalan, our assistant pastor. And they lived there. It was out in the country at that time. Now it's all sprawled out for as far as you can go. We were at the end of the city, right before you get to Lodi. And he had on Sunday night, the lights at the invitation was all over. I'll never forget, he said, it's been a wonderful day. And the lights would go very dim. And Earl Call was always standing by the piano and by the organist. And there's a big post. He stood there and would sing every Sunday night, Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. When the tempest comes and darkness falls, he giveth perfect peace. Oh, he is the only perfect resting place. He giveth perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I don't know if it was right to turn the lights on or down, but I loved it. I loved hearing him sing, Earl Call, C-A-L-L. He'd have to be long, long gone by now. And you know, the lights would come back on, and our pastor said, let's have a good week. What he was telling us, that God will keep you in perfect peace if you just keep on keeping on. Don't quit. There were a few times I felt like quitting the pastorate. But something's going to happen to you as you age. I have just the opposite. I don't even want to entertain quitting, stopping. And one day, God's going to say, it's stopping time. One day, God has it all planned. I don't look forward to that day. It grieves me to think that one day I'll be too old or too feeble to pastor this church. Don't ever feel sorry for me that I go to elementary chapel. I need it more than they need it. I love seeing their faces. I love singing those songs with Brother Martinez and Brother Galvan. I just love it. I'm holding on to every week I can get. Oh, poor pastor. Now he's going upstairs to the high school. Oh, no, I long to be with those kids. They inspire me. They're such better Christians at their age than I was at my that age. Now, don't feel sorry for me. And then I come over to High College Chapel, and I just love it. I just love it. I don't know if I'm doing any good at all these, but I'm trying my best. And I go to a preacher boys class. And then I go to Wednesday night, the book of Galatians, and sometimes you feel like you're in mud. Boy, I did a terrible job tonight. But I'm hanging on to every time I get to go to church. I'm hanging on to every song. My problem is not, when can we get out of here? My problem is, how can we get it all in and stay in church? I don't want to leave church. You'll keep on keeping on when you realize much of your journey is gone. Our Father, help us to keep on keeping on. There's so many that want to quit. Lord, I have no desire to quit. I have no desire to act like it's a pity party. Lord, it's a privilege to pastor the greatest church in all the world, the great North Valley Baptist Church. It's an honor. It's an honor to be in the heart of the Silicon Valley. What an honor. What an honor to be in California. What an honor to live in the United States of America. I don't want to complain about any of it. It may be my last Sunday. Lord, we may not have next Sunday. We might be in eternity by next week. And so until that time, may we occupy till you come again, till you call us home. May we enjoy the journey and keep on keeping on. I want to ask you to pledge to God tonight. You're going to keep on keeping on. Never quit. Never stop. Never throw in the towel. Never get so discouraged that I can't go on anymore. I watch people that they have so much adversity and sorrows, and they said, I'm just not going anymore. That's the craziest decision you could ever make. Let's stand together, please. The altar's open.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.